Blog Talk Radio.
This morning for being a healer who makes all things new. Are you ready to move forward this morning? I am so excited to be home in Kentucky with my mom, to have had some time with classmates that I haven't seen in some cases 45 years, some just in the last few or two or three, maybe four or five. I'm grateful to be a child of God in this season, grateful to know that God loves us enough that some of us are still here, because we know many didn't make it, but we are one of the ones that did. So we thank God this morning. I thank God this morning for being able to have another year, to be able to see old friends, to know that God loves enough to give us do-overs, to give us opportunities to be better today than we were yesterday. So thanking God this morning as we lift up the name of Jesus. Father God in heaven, we thank you today, for this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it, that you have given us another opportunity for another day, because someone else maybe didn't make it above this ground, but Lord, we are thankful that you allow us to be here. So, Father God, as I lift up this word this morning, I ask you to increase, Lord, as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I know that all things are going to work for good, because I trust and believe in you, that your grace is sufficient for me. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness. And above all, God, thank you for your holy and divine Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you. I praise you. I lift up the name of Jesus this morning. And it's in his name that I pray, believing and trusting in your word. Your word is true, and I can stand on your word, and I can live by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, family, on this Saturday, Sabbath. Thank you so much for joining me. Normally, this is my day of rest and my day to be rejuvenated, but I will be traveling in the morning at this time and not able to go forth. So we are going forth today. And I just feel that it is so wonderful to actually go forth on God's day, the seventh day, the Sabbath day. So again, thanking God for each and every one of you. Let's get in the word today. We are coming out of Psalm, and we're going to be starting at the 109th Psalm, and we'll be starting in verse number 6, and we'll be going from verse 6 through And so, again, 109th Psalm, verse 6. Through 25, we'll be going through Proverbs, starting at, we'll be in the 25th Proverbs, starting at verse 27, and we will read through to chapter 26, verse 2. So starting at Proverbs chapter 25 through chapter 26, verse 2, and we will start in Galatians today, a new chapter, and we'll talk about it on Monday. So we will be in Galatians starting in chapter 1, and we'll read chapter 1 and chapter 2. So get your Bibles, because this is Bible study. And give me a shout-out to New Great Love today, who I will be joining this morning for Bible study also. So I'm excited about getting filled up, because that is, whew, that church does something to my spirit. I love being in New Great Love. So shout-out to Pastor Loretta Horton and the new Greater Love family here in Kentucky. So, and I'm sorry, please forgive me. We will not be in the be reading verse 27. Well, yeah, we will. We're going to go ahead and read it again. We read it yesterday, but God said, read it again. So we're going to read it again. And it says this: it is not good to eat much honey. Actually, this was Thursday's word. It is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory. And that's going to fit in today's lesson, as you will see. So thank you, Father, for reminding me to read this. So again, in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 27 through 28, it is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So that's something to put in your brain and think about as we go to our 109th Psalm. And we'll be starting instead at verse, and it says this: let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart, as he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water, and like oil into his bones, let it be to him like the garment which covers him, and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers and to those who speak evil against my person. Don't play with God's people. God will not hold us harmless that mess with and prey on the needy and the poor. God wants us to lift them up, not tear them down. Because God is a lifter of our soul, our mind, and our spirit. We have to understand that we will all be held accountable for our deeds when we stand before God. His grace is sufficient for us, but we still must do what we're supposed to do. Love each other. Care about each other. Know that God is in charge of everything. He's in charge of our life. And again, the word that God gave me this morning was, I do not set aside the grace of God. We cannot set aside the grace of God. It is through his grace that we stand. It is through his grace that we live. Continue in 109th Psalm, verse 21. And it says, but you, O God, the Lord, who deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good, deliver me. Whew. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake. There it is. And, you know, I can imagine. I can't imagine. I'm just going to be honest. I can't imagine how someone feels who was up, who was all that, and then they got addicted to drugs. Someone I've seen, beautiful, beautiful woman, awesome woman of God, love God. But drugs, couldn't leave them alone because they kept getting called down to the boo-boo and men's house where they knew they were saved and wanted to do better. But instead of lifting up, they tore down by taking them back down the road that they had been on. And they had become lean and small, poor and needy. By God's grace, I know they will become who they're called to be, awesome and wonderful and evangelist, to do what God has called her to do. So I lift up and God knows who they are because I know that they are special to their family. And as we continue, we have to, and we all go through. We may not have a drug addiction. We may not be addicted to this, that, or the other, but we may have an addiction to food. We may like to eat. We may like to drink. We may like to curse. We may like other things. So nobody is better than anybody else. We have to all stand before God. We have to all thank him for his grace that when he gives us a do-over, we can do better. And then the word of God says, help me, O Lord, my God. And that's what we have to pray every day. Because we all have a thorn like Paul. There's something that takes us off our square that we have to ask God for. Help me, O Lord, my God. Oh, save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let your servant rejoice to rejoice, Lord. Let my accusers be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude, but he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. Better understand, we all got to stand before God and give an account. We got to all stand before God and give an accounting. And we have to pray that his grace will cover us, that he will forgive us, that he will not set aside his grace. We've got to trust God every day and believe every day that all things are going to work for our good because we are trusting in the Lord. Praise God this morning with me. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 26, starting at verse 1. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for food. Honor is not fitting for food. Let a fleeting sparrow like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. Whew, that's a word. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hands of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. words to think about, words to live by. So we're going to go back over and get a couple of life lessons from our psalm and our proverb this morning. See what God has for us today. God is good. I'm getting all filled up this morning. Just grateful for another day. Grateful to have seen old friends and to reminisce about good God is. And if we go back to Psalm 109, verse 27, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. When we pray for someone's deliverance or for God to intervene in some situation, and I pray for those that have fallen. I pray for those of us who have all stumbled, because not one of us has not stumbled. Not one of us has not said something we shouldn't have said or done something we shouldn't have done or spoken out of turn. So we ask God this morning, Father, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for speaking harshly or negatively. Help us to be the best that we can be because we are your children and we are loved by you, God. For your grace is sufficient. And Lord, we are grateful that you have given us your grace, that you have allowed us another day. Because somebody did not wake up. I do not set aside. We have to speak that like Paul. I do not set aside the grace of God. And so I say again, when we pray for someone's deliverance or for God to intervene in some situation, it is entirely appropriate to ask God to make it plain that what happened is no coincidence, but a direct answer to prayer. So I'm praying, Father God, please cover your children that have stumbled, that have fallen out of their square. Lord, that have fallen into addiction, that have fallen into helplessness and hopelessness and homelessness. Lord God, you know what all of us need. You know our hearts, you know our pains, you know everything about us. So Father, I lift up children that have been abused. I lift up mothers that have been in situations. I lift up fathers who have felt helpless to help their family. I lift up all of us to our God. I lift up this family that we will remember that every breath comes from you. The legs that we walk on come from you. The mind that we are given comes from you. Father God, I lift up leaders today, asking you to watch over them and keep them covered under the blood of Jesus, that Alzheimer's will not attack their mind, that no sprains, no hurts, no falls will come by them. Father God, I pray your hedge of protection around the most vulnerable, our babies, God. I ask you to bring them into this world in love, that as they are loved more in the womb, let them be loved just as much when they come up and are given the breath of life. Father God, I pray for young people today that they will get to know you and not be so caught up in the world, but be caught up in Jesus, with their Lord and Savior. I lift up and I pray this morning that we all know that everything comes from you in Jesus' name. Just had to take a minute to pray, as the farmer said, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it, that you, Lord, have lifted up, that you, Lord, have given us another day, that you, Lord, have put the breath of life in our body that you, Lord, have given us a do-over. So thank you, Father, again for this day. Proverbs 26, verses 4 through 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Some may say, there you have it, a direct contradiction in the Bible. Well, not quite. Both statements can be true, although in different situations and at different times. It takes a wise person to know which one applies. Sometimes you might have to answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. But sometimes folks will make you go there. And you have to just say, okay, God, give me strength. Let me not speak out of turn. Let me speak what you give to me to speak. Because the one thing you don't want to do is get in an argument with an idiot and call someone foolish to their face. It's just not going to work, because then you're going to have a moment. And you may have a moment that you can't handle. So the best thing to do when dealing with a foolish tongue is to be quiet and walk away. Because the one thing you don't want to make a fool look good in his own eyes. Let's keep it moving, y'all. Again, welcome to Sabbath, moving forward, praising God for another day. And again, my disclaimers, which I normally give at the beginning of the show, I am coming out of the Charles F. Daily Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, and I say every day, as I say today, get this Bible. It is worth your while. I tell you, it is a fantastic Bible. And I just lift up Dr. Stanley and ask God to continue covering him and giving him a word that he may impart to all of us. So this word will stand even after Dr. Stanley has gone to be with the Lord. His life lessons, life questions, life answers, what the Bible says will live on in this Bible after he has gone to glory. So we thank God for Dr. Stanley. And again, I am not paid by his ministry to hawk this Bible. It is from my heart that I tell you, get it. It's worth it to have in your biblical arsenal. It will give you clarity. It will give you an understanding. And it will just make you feel better. Because the words that God has given Dr. Stanley are words that will touch your heart. So let's get into our New Testament word this morning. And we are coming out of Galatians chapter 1. First day, first word, Galatians chapter 1. I was getting a little ahead of myself. So join me in Galatians chapter 1. And I'm going to say, Paul is on the road this morning. And, you know, we're going to have some answers to life questions, some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. So we got a little bit to go, and then I got to get ready to go meet my class again. So thanking God again for all those that are here for our high school reunion. Thanking God for each of you being with me early on a Saturday morning when normally this is our sleep-in day. So thank you all for joining me and letting me, allow me to give this word from God. So thank you, God, for all of you. I do not set aside the grace of God. Hallelujah. And the word of God says in Galatians, Paul, an apostle not from men, not through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the church of Galatia. We just finished him speaking to the church in Corinth. Now he's speaking to the church in Galatia as an apostle. He searches up. Paul is talking to the congregation. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. But I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? Come on now. But if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee, educated. That's a theologian. He was all that. And he excelled in his education. He excelled in his belief. That's why he was such a zealot to persecute this way. Oh, I mean, people following after this. Wasn't he just a rabbi? I know he thought he was all that, and they claim he raised from the dead. Oh, no, no, no. Paul was all the, in it. Stood there while Stephen was stoned to death, holding on to the garments of his killer. And then went zealously out to do whatever he had to do to stop the way. Until God, on that fateful day, Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, showed him something, blinded him by his holy light, and changed his life. And let's keep it moving. It says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, come on now, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the brother, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterwards, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. And we're going to go, we'll come back to life questions and answers after we finish our word this morning. And as we go into Galatians chapter 2, then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run. I had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Because remember, there was a big argument going on circumcision. You know, one saying you had to be circumcised, one saying you didn't have to be circumcised. And this big discussion going on within the church. Doctrine, that's all it was. Different doctrine. So let's keep it moving in our word this morning. And it goes on to say, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by sleep to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. But those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. But he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he would do and separate himself, fearing those were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played a hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with this hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as a Jew, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. As Christ, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. I build against those things which I destroyed. I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live in God. And this is where our title comes from this morning. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And we should all, as Christians, have that faith, have that philosophy, and know that by grace, God is in charge of our life. I do not set aside the grace of God. We cannot set aside the grace of God. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, but if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Whole bunch of things man-made that keeps folks in bondage. We got to ask God, release us, Lord. Release us from the bondage of mankind and show us the way to abide in you. I want to abide in God. I want to know that I am special to God and that by grace, His grace is sufficient for me. And as we continue in chapter 3 of Galatians this morning, it says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Come on now. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, but it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. If all you living by is doctrine made by man, instead of the laws of the prophets, instead of the commandments of God, then you living by law and not by faith. What did God tell us in his Ten Commandments? What did Jesus tell us were the greatest commandments? That we should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And he also said we should love our neighbor as ourselves. We cannot walk in two worlds. You either or a child of God walking by faith and not by sight, or not. God's grace is what sustains us. It's what wakes us up in the morning. Christ has redeemed us, as the word says, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus hung on a tree for us. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. But if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. In the law, then, against the promises of God, certainly not. But if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, but you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Can you say praise the Lord with me this morning? And as we come back into some life lessons this morning, life questions we will go over on Monday, but some of the life lessons we will go over today. And it says this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that he might deliver us from the present evil age. Jesus saved us out of an evil age so that we might become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as light. Are you going to be a light today? Let's walk in the light of Christ. Let's bring out those smiles and that grace that only God can give. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1 and 8. Whenever someone promotes a restored gospel or a secret gospel or a fresh gospel or any other gospel that deviates from what the Bible clearly teaches, run for your life. That person promotes death, not life. You know, I've been hearing certain rumblings that I got a fresh gospel. No, the gospel is the gospel. It's not fresh. It's not new. It's what is written. And I love what Dr. Stanley, who promotes a restored gospel or a secret gospel or a fresh gospel or any other gospel that deviates from what the Bible clearly teaches, run for your life. You go to a church where the Bible is not opened, this person comes up and they start whooping and hollering and running from here to there and everywhere and telling you all this stuff, but never opens the Word of God, run, because that is not of God. You've got to go to the Word, and you got to stand on the Word of God, not on man, but of God. If they don't open this Word at all, then just stand up and start preaching. But God's Word is never preached. And, you know, this is what I believe. You better move it. Pick up your Bible, which you should have, when you go to church, because that way, when somebody comes and they give you a word, but it's out of context, you can read it all of it for yourself and say, that's not what the Word of God says. Because when you have your own, you can read it yourself. Galatians 1 and 11, the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. The gospel of salvation by grace through faith by which we receive new life through the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, is no human invention. Paul did not conceive it, nor did the other disciples. It came directly from God. Can y'all say praise the Lord? I'm saying it this morning. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 2. False brethren secretly come in by sleep to spy out liberty. There is something about freedom that many people, even within the church, simply can't tolerate. They will try all sorts of tactics, both obvious and veiled, to bring you under their control. Don't let them. Don't let somebody bring you under control where you just listen to whatever they said, but you know good and well it's not what the Word of God says. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for foolishness. And as he continues, says this in chapter 2, verse 13, even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. We should never imagine that our sin affects only ourselves and no one else. Peter didn't mean for his sin to infect others, but it did. That's why we have to rely on God's Spirit to help us avoid spreading spiritual disease. And I'm speaking to people of God, to Christians, to people of the way. We have to be careful because whatever we do folks are watching us. They are looking at us, and they're saying, okay, are they bringing the God's light, or are they bringing darkness? We want to bring light. To wherever we are, we got to bring the joy of the Lord with us. To live the Christian life is to allow Jesus to live his life in and through us. Hallelujah. We got to go and believe. Second Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Come on now. There's a secret to the Christian life is to allow Jesus Christ to live in and through you by faith. When you invite and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you become a vital representative of Christ. I do not set aside the grace of God. We got to continue knowing who we belong to. And as we get into our last life lesson, and again, our longer things we will talk about on Monday when we come back, and we'll do an overview of Galatians, and we'll hit some of the life questions, what the Bible says. We'll get those on Monday. Life principles we'll get also on Monday, God willing. And it says this in our last section for today, in Galatians 3:25, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. God never intended that anyone try to work their way to heaven. Abraham couldn't, Moses couldn't, and neither could Paul. None of us can. The law shows us our need for a Savior who rescues us by grace. Come on now. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, accepted our rightful condemnation and the punishment we deserved when he willingly went to the cross. He took all of our awful sins with him. And that's why we can have a do-over, because Jesus has already paid the price for God's grace. For God's grace, Jesus paid the price. Galatians 3:28, you are all one in Christ Jesus. God does not play favorites. He has no favorite sons or daughters. We all come to him with exactly the same level of need, and he makes us into a single unit of the body of Christ. Says in our word this morning, in verse 26, starting at verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that is our word this morning as we wrap up with a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, is this. What somebody says about you doesn't determine your destiny. God does. And so that was for yesterday. She told us to have a fantastic Friday. And you know what, Sister Carolyn, I had a fantastic Friday. Thanking God for all my classmates. Thanking God for my mother. And just hanging out with my mom was so much fun. And just being here with her has been absolutely wonderful. So thanking God that I have a mom and that she is still here. I am grateful. I am thankful, and I am blessed to be a child of God. And as we get into our prayer for this morning, and it's this, what I would do if the world hates you. Remember that it hated me first, John 15:18, NLT. Faithful one, you laid down your life and love for everyone, even those who rejected you. It is hard to imagine this far out how anyone could have looked at your life and hated you. And yet, the longer I live, the more understandable it is as I look at the offenses of fear that led people to hate. Jesus, you bust religious systems that upended those, ate with sinners and hung out with fishermen and tax collectors. You befriended and honored women. You didn't live according to the religious elite view of what it meant to be righteous. You were a pure reflection of God's holy love for humanity. They totally missed it. If I am hated, let it be because I love too liberally for people's understanding. If they are offended, let it be because of the grace I extend to all people. I won't go wrong if I'm living like you, whether or not I'm accepted by others. How do you reject when people don't like you? How do you react when people don't like you? You know what? People have no hell or heaven to send any of us to. All we have to do is live right and know that God has given us a do-over. If you are here this morning, you have been given a do-over. If you are awake today, you have been given a do-over. We got to pray for each other. We got to lift each other up. We got to know who we belong to, and we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. Keep trusting God. Keep believing that He will be with you wherever you go. I do not set aside the grace of God. Thanking God for His grace for another day. Thanking God for everyone that joined me this morning. I know that we are off our normal daily man-made schedule, but I know, as I know, it's not man-made, God-made. And when God tells you to change, you change. And God told me to do my show this morning because He did not want me stressing out on tomorrow. So I thank God for the stress-free day. All I have to do is get up and get on the road. And so I'm thanking God, and I ask you all for your prayers as I travel early in the morning to make it to my church by 9 a.m. So I have to leave where I am about 4. So I'm at 4 or 5 at the latest. So I ask you all to please keep me in prayer that I will get up and that I will move and that I will do what I must do for the Lord. And I just thank you all for just joining me this morning. And before we get out, one more prayer, and then it is a wrap. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:3. Great God, you see the plans I have formed in my head and the details I'm working out. But you, O Lord, are the great orchestrator. I submit my plans for your approval. Whatever you think is best is what I want. I will not push my way through building plans and include a design flaw will end up being a mess in the end. I submit my blueprint to you to look over and wait for your feedback. Master Architect, I know that your edits will be necessary and will make the end product so much better. I know that with your involvement, the fruit of my life will have lasting impact. I have no desire to push my way to the top of my field on my own, only to wake up one day to dissatisfaction. I pour my life out for you. Fill me up along the way. And the question for today, family, as we walk out is, how do you react when people don't like you, and what do you want the impact of your life to be? Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. I got a lot to do, and I don't want to miss out. So have a great day. Thank you for joining me on this wonderful Sabbath. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Whew. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning and to be in the presence of the Lord. First thing, for God is good, and His mercy endures forever. And as we wrap up this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in Jesus' precious and only name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And do not set aside the grace of God. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Join me Monday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. God will. And as we like to say, and the creek don't rise. Have a great day. It's a wrap.